Okay, there are two psukim, two conflicting psukim. One pasuk in Pesach Tzadi, Halacha Samaches. If the West Hashem is Simcha, Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, if the West Hashem be Yira. A contradiction. Should a person serve Hashem b'simcha, or should he serve Hashem in Yira? Okay, and the same person wrote both psukim, David HaMelech. Okay, he wrote at the beginning of Tehillim. He wrote Tum Kuf. He wrote Simcha, and in the beginning he wrote Yira. Okay, so I guess he had a change of opinion from the beginning to the end. Did he actually write these two mizmorim? Okay, not every mizmor did David HaMelech write. Some were just collected, compiled. Right, some were compiled. Interesting. What?
Last week we had
Sivru Arashim in the call. Hope. Sivru is the hope. To put your faith in your hope. Okay, so it says over here we have a contradiction. I think I would be kedai to go see, to study Tehillim, to see exactly where these psukim come from. If David HaMelech is saying this on his own, or David HaMelech is recording what someone else said, which is very common in Sefer Tehillim. One place though he says Simcha, at least he's giving his endorsement. The fact that he did compile them and put them in one Sefer, obviously he's giving his endorsement in this dinyan of Simcha and this dinyan of Yira. If the West Hashem is Simcha, if the West Hashem is Yira, ha-keitzad imadim samech mo'od yaskil lo yem ha-misa, v'zehu bi-yira, im hu'ad seif, yismach liba b'divrei Torah. The Chsiv, it says, b'kudei Hashem, the orders of Hashem, yisharim, v'sam chelev. In other words, a balance, this is the rule of life, d'ram shutim ad mo'od, everything in life needs to be done in balance. If the person is bitzar, he's depressed, then he should gladden his heart. And how? He tells us the only way to gladden your heart is through Torah. The order, the yisameach libo, bedivrei Torah. And if a person is too happy, he should achieve, he should focus on Yira. The ultimate Yira is to be mazkir, the yoim hanisa. Okay. Balance. Iker is balance. Samach Tess. Im tir adam chashuv shemis leitet sin alav. If a person sees an adam chashuv is making late sonis, so why is he called adam chashuv if he's making late sonis?
People are making fun of him.
They're making fun of him, right. He should be, even that. If someone makes fun of you, that's not viewed to be a very dignified thing. For you don't associate the late sonis, shemis leitet, and even when it's to you, that the person that is doing the litzan should be called an adam chashuv, but yet it says here, take him seriously. Pashpesh be'osim mida v'daki his litzets al shum adam chashuv. Oyra Hashem is. One more time. In tire adam chashuv shemis litzet sin alav. Let's look at the perish on the side. Okay, look at the side on the side, on the left side. On the left side it says there in tire adam chashuv shemis litzet sin alav. Rotsi loymar liafuke bal avera mutter lihisloitzets olav gam livazoisai. We're not discussing a bal avera. A person is a bal avera. He holds it is permitted for a person to make litzonis of a bal avera the gam livazoisai to embarrass him. K'may shenimsa be'eliyahu. Vayatel bohem, the people that were worshipping the Baal. Imla Hashem luchu acharav, imla Baal luchu acharav. Lomata pesech al shnei asifim. So it says here in that parsha, Vayatel, the word Vayatel means he was making the late son. It's a very powerful word. Vayatel means to mock. Okay, he was mocking them. So you see, we learn from Eliyahu Hanavi that you are permitted to mock and make late sonis that people who do averis. Today, do we say this? Today, is this accepted halachal maestim is manazel luchara, not so quick, not so fast. Today, be very, very careful.
Because you're talking about fellow Jews.
Exactly. Well, he's also got a fellow Jews. But today, no one has a license to quickly to make litzanis about balei aver because you have to know the whole story. Shahaya misleitzets b'chem v'gam chizkiyah gira bi'atzmais aviv. What did Chizkiyah Navi do? He took the bones of his father Ochoz and he dragged them in the street because Ochoz was a baal avodah zarah. Al mito shel chavolim kidei sheyisgonu harishoyim v'yosudim yisuru. So he says over here that generally it is permitted. In the Iker Hadin, according to the letter of the law, it is permitted for a adam chashuv to make leitzonis about a rasha, about a bal avera. But that's not the case that we are discussing here. Here we are discussing a case where a person, the Chosh, is making litzonis about a certain person who does not appear to be Baal Aveira. So what does it say? Adam Chosh Hashem slights its sin Allah. Pashbeish ba'isa midah. You the observer, should analyze the midah. Vida ki his litzates al shum Adam Chashuv. Oyra Hashem slighted sin Allah v'loy micha biyadam. The nenash mida k'neged mida. I really don't know what this means. Let's see the mafarish on the side. Pashbeish be'oisa mida v'da. Ratzalayma. Shemida shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida k'neged mida. K'demisayim m'sayfa. Mash amar oirov lo micha b'yaday. V'nenash mida k'neged mida. Ratzalayma. Mi sheyesh limchaitz al anshe doiroi v'lo micha and does not make a macha. Nitpas al anshe doiro, you are held accountable. V'havi kilu hu bi'atzmei lot, as if you yourself made litzonis v'imisleitz in the love, havi mida k'negem mida. So it seems what's happening over here is, this is very, very bizarre. This is a little bit over my head, this concept, is that if you see a person suffering abuse, you have to have emuna that he deserved it. This is not for the faint of heart, and I don't think it's very practical. It's not very practical, but think of it: the person sees another person who is being abused. It means that person deserves that. Let's read the words one more time inside. Now I understand what he's trying to say, but again, it's not very practical. This is not a practical thing for us today in our generation. Let's read one more time. Imtira Adam Chashuv Shemisloitzitzin Olav. Let's assume that the word Allah means concerning another person, not yourself. Let's assume that to be the case here. That means Pashbeish Be'oisim Mida. Analyze what exactly the criticism is, and you can be certain. Vida, you can be certain. Ki Hisloitzitz Al Shum Adam Chashuv. Now this means that this person who is now suffering Bizyonos. At a previous point in time in his life, he was guilty of doing that to someone else, and now it's payday. If a person, you observe a person that is being put to shame for no good reason, you have to have emuna that he deserves it, because 20, 30 years ago, he was mivaz as someone else with exactly this form of bizyonos. And you'll say, what are you talking about? I have his file. I have a CIA file. We have everything that he ever did his whole life. He never ever did something like this that he should deserve, that someone should criticize him. He never did something like this. Well, maybe he did not actually do this, but he had an opportunity in his life to make a macha, to lodge a protest that this behavior should not continue, and he chose to remain silent, and his silence is viewed as acceptance of such behavior. And therefore, he deserves now in his life to be criticized for doing just that. So Vida, ki his light says, this individual at some point in time in his life made late sonos of someone else, al shum adam chashuv, regarding another person. Or maybe you'll tell me no such thing, it never happened, that he actually made litzonis of someone else. Or maybe, he saw that other people, Shemis litzitz in Allah, that other people were making litzonis concerning some individual. And now when he is suffering in this world, the nenash, he's been punished. Nida k'neged nida. Rabbi, don't try this at home.
Excuse me.
It's important, but one at a time. What are you saying?
There's nothing for us to do. It's an understanding.
No, I don't think. I don't think. No.
We always say many. A small amount of people did the Avera, but we said everyone is involved, but they didn't do anything about it.
You see someone in the New York Times, in the Daily News, they write an article, a very nasty article about a person. And the person, something very, very nasty. So what are you going to say? You say, oh, the person, oh, he deserves what he got. He deserves it because years ago he did the same thing. It's not our place to play God. Yeah?
You're just trying to understand what is God doing.
It just means have emunah. Everything is for a reason. The Sefer Chassidim is trying to say, is saying something that I cannot imagine any Baal Mussar today. It's just impossible.
90% of people would be included in that category. Exactly. Not even more than 90%, 99%. The somewhere along the line you did something wrong.
Right, right.
So now if you get someone picks on you, it's obviously it's me, they'll connect me to.
If someone is criticizing me and I have not done this, at least not now, right?
Okay,
at least not
now.
So it means 25 years ago I did this. And therefore it's payback time. And even if I didn't do it 25 years ago, 25 years ago I had an opportunity to make a macha,
right,
to lodge a protest, and I was quiet. So therefore, it's payback time. Hey, what about all of the Yom Kippurs that I clapped al chait? What about all the truth that I've done?
Don't worry about it.
Wait a minute.
You're good upstairs.
Wait a minute. Don't we believe that everything comes from Hashem, right?
Everything, that's exactly, everything comes from Hashem.
That's it.
But,
I don't know why you're having difficulty.
I
thought this was supposed to be.
Whatever reason, what happened.
Okay, maybe the reason I'm having a hard time is because I didn't translate the word Olav properly. If it's regarding yourself, then maybe it makes more sense. I mean, I take it back. Now maybe I understand it better. If you Olav means someone comes to criticize you, I'm being criticized. What are you criticizing me for? I didn't do this. I don't deserve this. You have to have emunah. Everything happens for a reason. 25 years ago, I did something just like this, and now it's payback. And even if I did not do something like this, I could have made a macha, it's payback. So, yes, in regard to myself, I am permitted, I am obligated to take a hard line and to view what was happening to me is deserved. But chas v'shalom, if you see this regarding someone else, if I see someone else being put to shame in shul, so guy walks into shul and starts screaming and he says very, very nasty things. And I know this guy didn't do it. This guy doesn't deserve it. So it's my place now to say, oh, they're screaming at him. They're putting him to shame because 25 years ago he did it. Or 25 years ago he could have prevented it from happening. It's not my place.
Now you have to prevent it from happening.
But also
understand that things don't happen for nothing.
That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. It's a very delicate balance.
Yeah.
Nothing happens for no reason. Everything that happens is for a reason. But for me to connect the dots, that's a very dangerous thing. For myself, I can connect the dots. For myself, I'm being criticized about a certain inyan, about a certain matter, then yes, this is a wake-up call from heaven for me to make a chesh goyin ha-nefesh. I was accused of a crime that I clearly did not commit. Why did it happen that in public I was accused of such a crime? It must be that maybe years ago I was involved to some degree in something that touches upon what they're accusing me for. Yes, that is something very powerful. You fashfesh to myself. If they're criticizing me, I didn't do it, I'm innocent, and the judge says innocent, case closed, the case is dropped. I still have an obligation to be mefashresh b'masav. Maybe indeed there's an element in my personal life that's not 100% in this matter that I need improvement in. Or maybe years ago and I have to do more tshuva. But chas v'shalom, do I have a right to go look at this fellow? This fellow was accused of a crime and there was a trial and it was clear as day beyond the shadow of a doubt that the person was innocent. Case closed, the case was dropped, and the judge apologized, v'chulu v'chulu, doesn't give me the right to say, oh, he was innocent, but still, you know, he...
You can't say it, but if he came to you for advice...
He can't say it. I can't say it about him.
No.
I can't... Not only can I say it, I can't even think it. I can't even think it. Yeah, when it happens to me, I have an obligation to search deep, deep within myself that I am guilty. To some degree, even fears. How do you divide? How do you draw that balance? How do you divide different standards? For me, mifash resh b'masav, I'm tachah guilty. But for him, nothing doing. I mean, that's a very, very tall order. It's like he's not coming to me. Let's say I'm not over here a psychologist. He's not coming to me. He's not coming to me for my advice. I am just an observer. I observed a person was put on trial for a crime that he did not commit. And when the trial was over, it was clear as day that he did not do it. yet he was accused of a crime. So we're making with a double standard. If I was in his shoes, I have to make a cheshbon hanefesh, that I am guilty of such a thing whenever years ago. But when I look at him, chas v'shalom. How do you divide? How in your mind can you separate the two?
Because you know yourself, but you don't know him.
I know, but it's one rule. It's one rule. If I was in his shoes, that's what I'm mechuyev to do, according to the Sefer Chassidim. But now that I'm not in his shoes, I'm not allowed to. You don't see the difficulty in that?
Because you know
God judges fairly.
You come to me in 1 second. Patience.
There are so many things that my children do to me that I think back, I say, you know, I can say anything to my parents. You know,
I did something and my father disturbed my father's sleep. I was making noise. I didn't think I was making noise. I don't know. My father somehow said to me, you know, you're doing this every night and it's no good and it prevents you from falling asleep. And then my father said to me, it's me the connected me, because when I was your age, I did exactly the same thing to my parents.
That's right.
Okay, yes.
David HaMelech two times got in this situation. The people did know that Hashem told Navi to David HaMelech not to build the Beit HaMikdash. And the people were mocking him, saying, David, when you are going to build the Beit HaMikdash? They did know that Shlomo is going to be the Tamil.
They did or did not.
They were mocking Mitzvah Sassim with David HaMelech when you are going to be the Tamil. And David HaMelech said, I didn't reply. I keep quiet and was very happy. And the second time was in the time of Shimi Ben Gera, that Kelalan Imreset and let him.
And he was silent.
Let him to tell what he wants to do.
Accepted the disgrace. Okay, let's go further. Okay, now we come to my favorite topic, Rabbi. So we come now to my favorite topic, Rabbonus. Where is Rabayevsky?
Right here.
Don't take this personally, Rabbi.
My skin is so thick, I can't.
Have a mikubul al kol adam. You should be acceptable. A person should be liked.
Is that what I told you is wrong, right?
Yes, of course it's right. MS.
David HaMelech is gadol chashuv.
MS. Have a mikubul al kol adam. A person should be acceptable. A person should be beloved. You should be acceptable. The al tirdoif achar horabonus. Don't chase after rabonus. Now, rabonus here doesn't mean, I was joking about it, it doesn't mean to be a rabbi. It means authority. Don't attempt to lord over other people, to be a control freak, to have things done my way and only my way. My way or the highway. My way and only my way. What?
Like your wife.
The al tirdoif achar horabonus. Do not pursue the midah. Rabbonus does not mean to be a rabbi. It means to pursue a position of authority. Ki oy lo rabbonus she mikaberes be'olecha. Authority caused the person to die prematurely. It's a famous chazal. Ura oya mi Yosef she meis kodim lecha. Who was the first of the brothers to die? Yosef wasn't the youngest. Ki ben zikunim huloi. The aslai kesonis pasim. Yosef was the youngest brother, and yet Yosef died the first. How could that be? It's because Yosef was in a position of leadership, of authority, of control. And it's a shocking thing. Yosef was a tzaddik. Yosef supported his whole family. Yosef was kind to his brothers.
He saved the whole world.
He saved his family. He never took revenge what they did to him. They sold him as a slave. He never, ever took revenge. Did he forgive? That we once discussed. Some say he did forgive them. Whatever it is. And yet, after all said and done, Yosef HaTzadik was the first of the brothers to die, even though he was the youngest. How could that possibly be? The answer is, it comes with the territory, whether you like it or not. It's just a fact in Metzius. A person, instead of Rabbanus, is the first to go. Shocking thing. Uroyim Yosef Shemes Koidim Echav. Period. Next halacha. We'll come back to explain this in a few moments.
It says by Yosef, why? Because as soon as it says, they darshan the pasuk, Anochi Acha Kel Eschem, Alright? The next pasuk is Vayomas Yosef.
Vayomas Yosef. And two are juxtaposed.
He says, I will feed you. And God said, oh really? I thought it was me.
Rapid succession. The Altichais, let's go further. The Altichais, Kiakas, maybe Yuchal Tos, the worst midah, this is the Dabra Yedua, the worst midah is anger. Anger is the worst. V'altichos ki'akas maybe l'chlal tos, it brings to error. Tsei ulamad mi Moshe Rabbeinu shekotzav al anshe hachayil. He got angry at the anshe hachayil. Haboim mitzvah ha midyan. Why did you not? What did he get angry about? Why did you not kill? Why did you not take the life of the noshim v'taf, the women? And the children, the same type of thing we have in this week's Haftarah. This week's Haftarah is Shaul. Shaul did not kill immediately Agag. He did not kill the women, did not kill the animals, did not kill the animals. Similar story. Okay, we have to make a link between those two. But in any event, Moshe got angry. He got angry a few times. He got angry also at the Miluim. When Nadav v'Avihu died, and they did not eat, they burnt the carbon chatos, the seir hachatos, dorosh dorash Moshe v'hinei sorof. But Yiksof says that he got angry. Okay, Moshe got angry a few times, and because he got angry a few times. Each time he got angry, he was punished. He made a mistake. He made a mistake in halacha, or he did not know the answer to a question. Shekotzav al anshe hachayil tosh lohoro lochem geulei klei nochrim. And therefore he did not know how to kasher the laws of kashrus. The laws of kashrus, very interesting, is that today the laws of kashrus are elusive. The laws of kashrus today, unfortunately, you need a mashkiach, you need a hechsher, you need a kashrus organization. It's a minefield. The laws of kashrus is a nightmare. It's a minefield. I once heard Rabbi Beryl Wein. He once said, kashrus is the minefield that every rabbi gets blown up in. There's no rabbi. He was the head of the OU. He was the, I don't know what they call him, the czar, the commissioner, whatever you want to call him. But he was the chief officer who made the decisions for the OU kashrus. Probably before Ginnak, I would imagine. I don't even know exactly what capacity, but he was like Ginnak. He was in charge.
He was there for a very short time.
Yes. He got out of here. He saw what's going on. He got out of here right away. he saw it was a nightmare.
Being head of the OU does not mean he was head of Kashrus.
No, I meant Kashrus. I mean, he was head of Kashrus, right? He wasn't head of OU.
I think he was.
He was the whole OU he was the head of?
I believe so.
It was the Kashrus part.
I don't think he was head of the Kashrus.
Okay, whatever it is. I don't know whatever it is. But he...
Yes, he was. Before
Ginnak. I think just he wasn't head of the OU, he wasn't the president, he was the head of the OU, the Kashrus. He had Kinnak's position, or I don't know, the positions evolved with the people, whatever it was. But he saw Kashrus from the inside. Yeah. And if he made that statement, obviously he knew what he's talking about, that it's the place where all rabbis, even Rabbi Reisman. Rabbi Reisman also said that Rav Pam advised him not to go into Kashrus. Rabbi Reisman is still heavily involved in the Kehila Kashrus. He was one of the founders of Kehila Kashrus. And Rav Pam, he didn't want. There's a lot of stories. My father was also involved there, and Kehila Kashrus came out only out of there's a lot of lashon hara. There's a lot of lashon hara about this, and it wasn't their choice. It wasn't their choice. Whatever it is, in any event, Rav Pam told them not to go into it. Stay away. It's a nightmare. It's nothing like a Yashiver Soloveitchik. The Agmas Nefesh that he had from Kashrus in Boston is off the charts. What went on in Boston? I mean, you read about the life. What?
They had lawsuits.
What went on there and how they really swindled him. They did terrible things to him because you know, it is not a fun profession to be in. Who is to say, I'm saying Jewish now, who is to say, everything has a history. We have Emuna, right? We're B'nai Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Maise, Ovoi, Simen, Labanim. Where in the Torah is their kashrus? Parshas Kukas, Geulei Kalim. They went to war, and only one place in the Torah that's kashrus. They went to war against the nation of Midian because of the terrible things they did to Klal Yisrael by trying to have the Nichshol and Arayos. 24,000 people died because they were caused them to Nichshol and Arayos. They come back from war, and Moshe Rabbeinu They come back with the spoils of war. Kalim galore. They come back with all the modern high-tech, new Kalim, okay, the Instapot they come back with, crackpots and microwave ovens. They come back with all the technology, all the crackpots also come back. They come back with all the goodies, all the goodies that the world has to offer. And Moshe, and they come, Moshe Rabbeinu, how do we cash all this? And the first thing is Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. And he goes on, how come the women are alive? How come you didn't kill them? You were supposed to kill them. He gets angry. And because he gets angry, he's not 100%. He's off guard. And then when it comes, okay, how do we kasher? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? If you don't know, then who knows? You're our channel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean you don't know? Well, I don't know. I got to go consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was ambiguity. There was a lack of clarity because he got angry. And because he got angry, he didn't know. And then the giving over of the laws of Kashrus, the Klal Yisrael, was given over in a state of confusion. What are the repercussions? Maise Avoy Simin Labanim. We're still confused. Ar Hayoy Mazer. Are you not confused about Kashrus? Does anyone today have clarity in Kashrus?
How do they know they had a Kashrus?
That's the whole parasha of Klei Midyan. They claim Midyan. They go through this. They go very great detail. Hagola, Libun Kal, Libun Gomar. I mean, this is the books and books. And everything comes from the few psukim mentioned there. Kol Yavai B'Mayim, Yavai B'Mayim, Yavai B'Eish, B'Eish. All of the laws are alluded to there in that parasha. And Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted these laws to Klal Yisrael in a state of confusion because he got angry. There was an issue in his life. People were not doing the right thing. He got angry. Maisa Ova, Simon Labanim. It's still other things in Halacha. There's no confusion. There are many areas, Baruch Hashem and Klal Yisrael. I don't know, many, but there are things that, you know, we get by. It's very complicated. We know what to do. You go ask the rabbi or Shaila. Finish. No one's killing each other over it, right? No one's. Kashrus is a big hole. It's a big business. Now we know. That's why it's a big business. Because since there's so much confusion, that's why it turned into a big billion-dollar business. But the fact is, it's something which is elusive from us. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Why? It's rooted in the way it was given to Klal Yisrael the very first time. Okay? It's a very interesting idea, I think. What? And Lozer HaKoyin told them the details. Moshe was... Okay, so this is... Right. Kol mitzvah v'kal b'simcha. I die in b'simcha. Bris Mila, we were v'kal b'simcha. We're still doing b'simcha. But Arayos, Bochul l'mishpachosav, there's always fighting. Everything is rooted in the mice in the beginning of the mice of us. Simone Milsa. Everything is rooted in the Sharashim. The Sharashim are good, everything is good. Like children, child's mind is wet cement. Once the cement dries, you know, you see on the sidewalk, these kids, they put their fingers into the sidewalk. I love you, you know, all these crazy things. That's it. I once there's a cement guy, what do? He says, there's nothing to do. If a kid, if someone comes there and damages it, he says, there's nothing to do. You can't go take a sander. There's no machine you can do to go and fix it. If it's damaged, you got to cut up the whole thing and start all over again. It's a horror. A child's mind is wet cement. The Sharashim is where everything is formed and molded, and in the Torah and the Avos, Mais Avos Simin Labanim. Okay, now we discussed here in one breath two different contents, Rabbanus. Now he writes over here, a person should not, Val Tirdef Acha Harabonis, you know the very beautiful word from Rabbi Shlomo Salanter, I'm sure you've all heard at one point in time. Any Rav who is loved by every member of the Kehillah is not a Rav. And every Rav who is hated by every member of the Kehillah is not a mensch. Okay, it's a famous Rabbi Shaul Salanter. A Rav's job is to grate your nerves, but not to grate your nerves to the degree where you vote him out. Okay? It's got to be that very delicate balance. He grates your nerves to do the right thing, to get you to, you know, get where you're supposed to be in the halacha, but to be a mensch. And if he grates your nerves to the degree where no one likes the rabbi is arch enemy number one, he's not a mensch. That's not a rabbi. It's a very, very delicate balance between the two, where the relationship of Rabbanus is. Because look at him, you know, you see everything about Sefer Chassidim. You see he was way ahead of his time. You see it. You see the inside, the way. Because he starts off heavy mikubal al kol adam. The first thing he starts is, you should be liked. You should be liked. It's a very important thing in this world to be liked. The al tirdoif acha harabonos. Don't pursue this concept of telling people what to do. When you tell a person what to do, then you're not liked. You're not liked. But no, in life, then you have to tell people what to do. You know, if you're in a position, that's your job. Your job is to tell people what to do. Where do you draw the balance? It's not so easy. Ki it buries be'olecha. Like I told you, it's a very hard thing to understand. Why should that be so? There was some rabbanim that are very beloved. Yosef was not beloved. He's like the guy from Yosef. This idea is something really requires great understanding. To understand, great depth to understand. Let's do another little chat.
What? Hakavod.
Lirid of Hakavod?
And Rabbanus? The same.
My means Rabbanus here.
Because in the Pirkei Avot we have.
Rabbanus does not mean here a rabbi with a contract and a kehila. Rabbanus means authority.
No,
authority.
Not Hakavod. That's somebody.
Kavod? What is Kavod? What is covet? What covet? What covet? There's no covet over here. We're talking about authority. Authority.
Not the same.
Not the same. They're not the same. They're
not the same.
Now, by the way, it says here, do not chase after it. But sometimes it comes after you. If it comes after you, you have no choice. The Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, Rav Meir over here. We're married to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. We have all these nasty books. We have all these stuff about all the different. The Lubavitcher Rebbe did not want to be Rebbe. It's clear as day. His brother-in-law was meant to be the next Rebbe. After the Riatz, the sixth Rebbe passed away. There was no Rebbe for an entire year. The next one in line was meant to be Gurari. Gurari, is it pronounced? Gurari? Gurari. Gurari, you know. Gurari. 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 He was meant to be the next Rebbe. And the Rebbe never had a Havamina that he would be the Rebbe. And they chased after him for a year. The Hasidim demanded and wanted. It took a year to butter him up, to open up his mind for the possibility that he could be the Rebbe. It took a whole year, even more than a year, until he accepted upon himself leadership. He didn't chase after it. He didn't chase after the Rabbonus. It chased after him. Clear as day. Clear as day. No one argues on this point. There's no this thing no one argues about. This is a very fascinating thing, is when they come and they chase after you. I remember the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer also did not want to be a Rav. Chassam Sofer was probably in modern times. But in the last 200 years, there was no Rav in the world, I don't believe, that came to the influence and power like the Chassam Sofer. He just wrote another biography, fantastic biography on the Chassam Sofer.
I mean,
it's incredible what he did for Klal Yisrael. It's not to be believed. And they write there in the beginning, it's clear as day, he b'shum oifin did not want to be a Rav, had no desire, and he ran away from it. And I don't remember all the details, but when he went there, there was a very great person, a very holy person he went to consult with, and he said to him, you won't be so lucky. You think you're going to escape? This is your destiny. You're not going to be able to escape from this. They're going to come after you, and it's going to overpower you. The position will overpower you, whether you like it or not. You will not be able to escape from Rabbanus with all of the uncomfortable and painful things that comes along with Rabbanus. A real Rabbanus, say we look at Rabbanus as glamour, right? No, it's not glamour, believe me, it's no glamour. But Rabbanus, you know, people are running after Rabbanus for I don't know why, for COVID, for this and for that, for COVID, right? But he said to him, you're not going to be able to escape this. This is your destiny, it's going to come after you. You should not tirdoif achar harabbanus. But when Rabbanus comes knocking on your door, then that might indeed be your destiny, you don't have a choice. Chasam Sofer, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I'm sure there are a long, long list of other people as well. I know in the family two brothers. One brother did everything possibly he could possibly do to become a rabbi. And guess what? He didn't make it. And the other brother hated the rabbanim with such a sinas mavis, he did everything to do not to be a rabbi. And guess what he's doing today? He's a rabbi. They chased after him, and he became a rabbi. How you talking? It goes to show Hashem runs the world. Hashem decides who's the rabbi, who's not the rabbi. Unbelievable. But this, he already understood this. Tirdoif, don't chase after. If it's meant to be a rabbi, there's certain things in life that are bashert. It'll come knocking on your door. Okay, let's now stop, take a break, and then we'll learn in Yoni Purim.
He's going to lose his life.
What?
Someone is going to chase after Kavod. Also, he's going to make up. He's going to like this.